A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 7th of December 2021, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing from this book, the Lotus Sutta. Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing. We are at page 34, last paragraph. If it's a hard copy, if it's a soft copy, page 21 on the soft copy. Yeah. Okay, so as usual, we are off the light and we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Yeah. So just relax body and mind completely and maintain awareness to stabilize the awareness nature. Okay. So we are in the last paragraph. The roads to heaven. Oh, sorry, I better read from the text. This one is the old version, I think, the PDF one. I have the hard copy, so I will read from the hard copy. So the English translation here is better. There are roads to heaven, but you don't walk them. Whereas hell has no gate, but you bash right in. So there is a Mandarin version, which is better, I think. I will get Jin Hao to read it. So for the benefit of those who know Mandarin, it's good.
天堂有路你不走，地狱无门你自来.
Then there is another verse. One confused means a confused cultivator. Transmit that confusion. In one transmission, two misunderstand. The teacher plummet into hell. His disciple follow right behind. But the Mandarin version is better. I get Jin Hao to read to you. For those who know Mandarin, it sounds a lot better.
懵懂传懵懂，一传两不懂，师父下地狱，徒弟往里供。
So this saying is very important. So if you could recall, I used to share this quite often too. If you don't really have the true understanding, my advice to you is you better qualify yourself before you do the sharing by saying, according to my understanding now, I think this is what the Dhamma is. And then you don't commit offense. But you're not sure and you insist that this is the right Dhamma. And the worst is if someone going to argue with people, that is the worst. So here is a very good example. The saying says there are roads to heaven, but you don't want to walk them. So it's just like the Buddha Dharma. When we understand the essential Dhamma, especially Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is very clear. If you do not train your mind and you choose to remain heedless, then you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the ignorance of greed, hatred, and delusion. So if you do that, then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart, the oxen cart. So this one is Dhammapada verse 1. If you don't train your mind, you choose to remain heedless. So this one will lead to suffering. Suffering will follow you. Knowing this, you have to be careful. You must choose not to be heedless. Otherwise, like the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means you don't stand a chance at all as far as spiritual cultivation is concerned, enlightenment is concerned. So this one is the path that lead to downfall, decline. So this one is actually Xuan Hua's second verse. He said, sorry, the first verse, but the second one, lead to hell on. He said, hell has no gate, but you bash right in. The meaning is, you follow Dhammapada verse one because you are heedless, you are deluded. You don't want to find out the truth. You don't want to find out the way to develop the wisdom and the understanding for you to realize heavenly rhyme or the path to heaven. So the saying that say there are roads to heaven, but you choose not to walk them. Why? Because Dhammapada verse 2 of the Dhammapada verse according to Sakyamuni is very clear. He said, if you choose to train your mind to be heedful, then you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So this is the Dhamma that leads to heaven. So this is showing you the path that leads to happiness, the heavenly rhyme. Whereas the hell rhyme is the path to suffering, leading to decline. So knowing this, that's why Master Xuan Hua said, the path to heaven is clearly charted by Sakyamuni Buddha, but you choose not to walk them. Whereas hell has got no gate, which means you don't know whether you have went the wrong direction and bash into hell or not, because there is no gate to tell you that this will lead to hell. So not knowing that doesn't give you the liberation to like a reason for you not to be faulted. It's just like you cannot say I don't know the law. If I rob a bank, if I use weapon, especially gun, then if I'm caught, the penalty is death sentence. You cannot, during the prosecution, charge you, tell the court or the judge that you don't know. If you know this law, there is such a law, then you will not commit it. But delusion is not a bliss. Delusion has its price. So when it comes to cultivation of Dhamma, it's the same. When we understand the essential Dhamma, the pointer towards what is appropriate cultivation and what is inappropriate cultivation, then we need to choose wisely to cultivate the correct one. Then the danger of teaching the wrong truth or the wrong teaching is also expressed down here, is it? If you are confused, you transmit that confusion, then one transmission lead to at least two misunderstanding. Two person misunderstand. So if you transmit to more than one person, then it will cause karmic obstruction. In future, you will be drawn to such al-dhamma or teaching that takes you to Holland, that leads to downfall, not the truth. So here, Xuan Hua used this very beautiful saying by emphasizing the danger, isn't it? If you do that, not only the teacher plummets into hell, the follower or the disciple also follow right behind. Because when you learn the wrong Dhamma, which is not the truth, you become gullible. It will lead to wrong view, delusion. So all of this is very dangerous. So Master Xuan Hua mentioned this. He said, people who act this way are destined for two places. Oh, sorry, for no place but the hell, it said. So that's how the verse comes. Then we continue with the sharing. When the disciple arrived, the teacher said, "What are you doing here?" Because the teacher also, I think, was surprised. How come the student also there with him in hell? "We are your student," they say. "And of course, we want to follow you. But you have made a terrible mistake. This is hell." "Oh no," the student cried. "Why have you led us here? I don't even know how I got here," he cried. "But it's too late now. I can't get out." Pathetic, isn't it? So this one is just to remind cultivator, choose the correct teaching. Use your wisdom and what they call understanding. Like the Kalama Sutras. You must have some form of understanding or wisdom. Not only the teacher, but all of his students or disciples resemble fish trapped in a net. When will they get out? No one knows. No one has a solution for their problem. This is what happens when you claim to be a Buddha without recognizing the Buddha or understanding the Dhamma. Such is the result, or such is the retribution that will arise. We are discussing the 10 great kingly vows. Then we go to number 3. The 10 great kingly vows of Samantra Bhadra Bodhisattvas. The third vow is to cultivate extensively the giving of offerings or dana parami. This means we should not be making offering today and not making them tomorrow, or be giving to one Buddha and not to another. One should make offering in a vast and universal manner. So the uniqueness of Samantra Bodhisattva's vow is it is universal in nature. That's why Mahayana Samantra Bhadra Bodhisattva is called Pusien Pusa. So Pusien Pusa has 10 great vows. They call it Si Ta Yuan. And these 10 great kingly vows are very unique because they are universal. Then her fourth vow is to repent and reform karmic obstructions or karmic obstacle. So this one is very important. All cultivators of the way will know this, because when there is karmic obstruction, it's very difficult to actually find the path, find the way. Because karmic obstruction are very serious obstruction. It will obstruct the cultivator of the way. So you have to ask for forgiveness and repent. So repentance and reform of karmic obstacle are very important. Why do we bow to the Buddha? We bow because we have made too many mistakes over limitless kappas in the past. And now we want to confess and repent to them. We want to turn over a new leaf and make amends for what we did wrong. So you follow the yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, the section on asking for forgiveness and to develop the understanding of repentance to overcome all coming obstruction. That one is very important. So you follow that one, that will be very complete. You start by asking for forgiveness from the Triple Gem, then all beings. Then it also cover whatever coming obstruction that is not included under the above. Then the fifth power is to follow along and rejoice in acts of merit and virtue. When you see a chance to do something wholesome or good, you should do it. If you can do a penny's worth, do a penny's worth. If you can do a dollar's worth, do a dollar's worth. You can do $100 worth, do $100 worth. Merits and virtue must be done, not just talk about. Practicing the Bodhisattva way, one must benefit others, not oneself. In general, those acts which help others and which are not done out of selfish intent, profit-taking motives, are all acts of virtue, following along and rejoicing in merits and virtue. So this one is very important. Then the sixth vow is to request the turning of the Dhamma wheel by all Sammasambuddha. This is to ask the Dhamma master to explain the sutta. For example, a few days ago, some people requested me to lecture on the Vajra Sutra. So this one is referring to Master Xuan Hua. Until now, there has been no Buddha Dhamma in America, and no one qualified to explain this sutra. Vajra is the diamond sutra. The sutra are impeccably wonderful, and their wonderful doctrines cannot be understood without several decades of study and practice. If you haven't seriously studied the doctrine or the teaching, you are just like an ant crawling on the outside of the watermelon, unable to taste the melon's flavor. In America, a number of people say, I'm a Buddhist. I'm in Buddhist study. You know, I have a doctorate in Buddhism. But if you haven't put yourself down, you have not understood the Buddha Dhamma at all. If you understand the Buddha Dhamma, why do you cling on to your title, the PhD title? So the PhD is little child or little children. If you speak genuinely or genuine principle, however, no one will listen. Now that I have finished lecturing on the Surangama Sutta, I dare to explain some genuine principle to you because you have reached a level where you can accept it. If I had told you the entire truth before you are ready, you would run in fright. And never return. Why? Because you were like little children. If you give a child a piece of candy, he will eat it and understand that it is sweet. If you try to reason with this child, he simply won't understand. And if there is no candy to be had, he won't come back. Children cannot be blamed for not being able to understand the genuine principles of Buddha Dhamma. So this one is Xuan Hua's way explaining the skillful means. But most teachers or masters or people who teach the Dhamma, they encounter this problem. Like I also told you before, in the year 1989, when I awakened to the world, the way, and realized the truth, I was amazed at the truth. I said, who can understand such truth? It's almost 100% the opposite of what normal people do, mundane people do. And whatever that is logical to the mundane mind is not the truth. Most of the time is the opposite of the truth. So because of that, I did not really want to share or teach. The nature knew, no point, where nobody understand. Even if I share, I teach, people will run away. Then later on, after 15 years, 2004, like I said, Sister Yun Chan appeared and requested my nature to share. Three times. And three times also I say, never mind, no need to worry. Let things be. When the time come, things will happen. Then after that time, something happened. My nature prompted me and said to me, now is time for you to come out. The condition is there. Everything is there. You should come out. Then as usual, my nature has this hesitancy. What if people don't understand? Out of love and compassion, so that don't create unnecessary condition for people to get themselves entangled with such severe coming obstruction. Well, what I say will be very degrading, means very controversial or completely opposite of what is been normally accepted or thought. So that was the hesitancy. Then the nature say, you can set condition to mitigate all this. And that's how I agree to come out and share. So far, it's already 16 years, 16 or 17 years, coming to 17 years. So far, so good. Nothing happened. Then later on, even when I started to share, I thought people need the truth, need the number. So I shared certain very basic but important dhammas, like the five aggregates of my mind, the four noble truths when it's three turning and all. Then I realized hardly anybody can follow. Hardly anybody really understood what has been shared. Then I realize this is not the way, because at that time I remember I used to tell the initial batch of Kayanamitas, whoever who can comprehend 10% of what I share is already very good. But at that time people cannot understand. Then later on my nature reflect, how can I share this with the living being? Then the nature tell me, you have to go back to very, very basic, because they are not ready for the Dhamma, the true Dhamma. You need to teach them using skillful means. Teaching basic essential Dhamma. That's how I reversed my whole teaching and started from essential Dhamma. Especially Thursday class. Where I revolve my teaching around the five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, the three evil roots, and Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 1 and 2, then 21, 22, 23, and Dhammapada verse 183, the advice of the Buddha. Then the rest of the essential Dhamma, like the four noble truths, slowly going into it one by one. Explaining the first noble truth, second noble truth, third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth. Then give example. Then explain noble eightfold path. Then later on only zoom in on the meditation, because the meditation is the first hurdle that new cultivator need to overcome. I cannot just teach the real meditation, like what the Buddha had taught, the prajna stage or the Huineng's three hallmark. That one is the very advanced and penetrative one. So people will run away. That's why I revert back to what people do. I don't want to be too rigid. I told them, you can do your meditation in whatever way that you are used to, whatever that suits you, benefit you, and you find workable, use it. Any method, any technique, chanting, or whatever. But what you need to understand is, what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? And that one very important. When you understand that, then you will understand all these methods and technique and skillful means, they are not the meditation. There are a series of instructions to do certain things for certain purpose. Like I have explained before, because most people, they don't have the spiritual faculty. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya develop. And because they lack the spiritual faculty and the stability of it, their mental hindrance, the opposite fire, are very strong. Their sensual desire and ill will, their sloth and torpor, sleepy mind, their restless mind, their doubt, they are very strong. And because of that, they think a lot. The mind becomes habitual. And all this lead to heedlessness. So when they want to meditate, they find that it's very difficult. But they think a lot. The mind, like very restless, cannot settle down. So what do people do when the hindrance are there? They suppress it. They control it. So the only way is to come up with method and technique to anchor the mind so that the mind doesn't wander off and become heedless. That's why they have to force the mind to do either one-pointedness, meditation, or focusing, concentrating, or develop absorption. But they don't understand the purpose of training the mind to develop mindfulness. Because the Buddha already very clearly explained, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So to meditate, you have to develop heedfulness. But they don't even know what is heedfulness. So according to Dhammapada verse 23, heedfulness is defined as the constantly meditative, ever mindful. Means if you are ever mindful and constantly meditative, then you are heedful. So to be heedful, there are two parts. You have to be ever mindful first. Then only you can use it to cultivate. Yeah. So ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. To be ever mindful, you must train your mind to at least be mindful first, then stabilize it. That's why the spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness has to be there. So if it's not there, the hindrance will be there. So the training of the mind is to develop this mindfulness, is to train your mind to be aware. That's why anapanasati, the Buddha said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. He never said breathing in, not. Or focus, not the sensation, the feeling, or focus on the breath. No, he never say that. That's why the first training, anapanasati in the kayanupassana, is to train your mind to have sati. And that sati is to develop sati of the breath. Where the breath is always in the moment, is to anchor your mind with the breathing. When you are with the breathing, there is no thought. You are in the state of sati awareness. That's why you can be peaceful. You can be calm. You can be silent and still when this anapanasati stabilizes until the breathing becomes very subtle and your mind has entered sati. This one, nobody know. Nobody understand. That's why they can't teach. So I have to slowly come back to this over the years. People have started to develop understanding and now they are confident. That's why I can nowadays freely teach, just like Shenhua. So all this, if you look back, if you reflect back, you will understand. So it's not easy to understand the real Dhamma. First, the essential Dhamma, also people cannot understand. After you understood the essential Dhamma, you must understand what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then when you do it, you will realize the true mind, the silent mind. Then you will come to know there are two minds. And then it's very easy to understand the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching as taught by the Buddha. Why he said, the other mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, which is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, that five aggregate of form and mind, which is your thought process, they are not real. They are not you. They are impermanent. You attach and cling evilly to suffering. Because the five aggregate are impermanent. That's why it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, cling onto and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine and you can own things. No, the Buddha say all these are delusion. That's why when you meditate correctly, using sati and go into all this, you will understand. Then the teaching become very different, very clear. Then meditation becomes so different and so straightforward. That's why now I teach you go direct to the true mind, no thought. By using the four basic support for awareness-based meditation, we no longer want you to waste time on thought-based meditation. You just relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it for as long as you can, technically 24 hours. Then later on, trust your nature to develop the meditation. Don't allow the thought to interfere or your views, opinion, and your conditioning from your memory. Well, that one is still thought-based. So such teaching, you cannot find. You can go and check all the Buddhist books and all those things you can't find. Even Mahayana texts, they can't explain so clearly. They, of course, had their own sutta. But like I said, their Mahayana sutta for enlightened beings. Because these are words spoken by enlightened beings. So unless you have the awakening, you cannot understand the sutta. That's why without the awakening, you cannot understand the sutta. Then how can you teach? What you teach is knowledge-based, theoretical teaching. That's why it's not easy to find the true teaching. Find a teacher who can really teach and share. So now a lot of Kayamita have developed those understanding. That's why they have a lot of gratitude. And they really appreciate how the Dhamma has evolved over the past 16 to 17 years. And they are so beautiful. Then with the website, with the recording, with the video and the audio, they have become so beautiful. That's why we should thank all Kayamitas who has in one way or other helped develop all this and sponsored all this. So these are very beautiful understanding and sharing. So hopefully with this explanation, you can understand it better. You no need to use Master Shen Hua's candy to attract people and all those things. No need. That one is for small kids. But if no candy, they don't want to attend the class. Well, like that, how? Who wants to buy candy? I never do that. For me, my nature, no. You have affinity, you will be here. You have the causes and conditions behind, you will be here. If you don't have the affinity, you don't have the causes and behind, you can't be here. Even if you are here, you will get lost. You will leave. But that is the way Dhamma is. That's why the wonderful Dhamma is wonderful. What is really wonderful. So, what is the reality. The reality is such. No need to give candy and all those things or fall. If there is no condition, just let things be. When there is condition, I set the condition, then I share. And my duty is to share. If you have affinity of the condition, you will be here to listen. Then after that, nothing to do with my nature. You agree or you don't agree, you learn or you don't want to learn. It's up to you. Well, your life, your choice. That's the reason why it's wonderful. That's why everything is wonderful. whether delusion or non-delusion, they are wonderful within the conditional. So that saying, I think Sister Amy Coin is really beautiful. I like that saying. So what is real wonderful? So remember that there is an added one, or the one they call last time we had those the purple color book is on. What is the title already? All my sayings.
Unique code.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So Sister Amy, we can include this one. What is real wonderful? So this one can be added in later on to the unique code. So these are all very beautiful sharing. So we should all rejoice. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we go on. We will continue with the sharing. To request the turning of the Dhamma wheel is to ask those who truly understand the Buddha Dhamma, not just PhD holders, to explain the suttas. If you want to be a carpenter, you should study with skillful carpenters. Should add in the word skillful carpenters. You want to be a metal worker. You want to study metal work. You must learn from a skillful metal worker. No matter what you want to learn, you should study with an expert in that field. Not all of you intelligent students were taught by Dr. Conzi. He is a professor who teaches students to investigate the Buddha Dhamma. To investigate the Dhamma properly, one should study with the Dhamma master. If you study with Dr. Conzi, he will also direct you to look for a Dhamma master. This shows that he genuinely understands the Buddha Dhamma. That's why he was able to guide you people onto the true path of Buddhism. He is not like those people who imagine themselves to be great experts on Buddhism, but who really cannot be trusted. Requesting the turning of the Dhamma wheel means requesting a Dhamma master to lecture on sutta and speak the Dhamma. So this part is very important, very beautiful, because I remember during my last 16 or 17 years of sharing, there were two occasions where people really recognized my understanding and request me to share. The first one was duo for Sister Yun Chan. That's why you all should thank her for developing the condition for me to come out and share. Then the second one was, I remember around 2008 or 2009, I forgot already, Sister Ingby, together with, of course, Sister Mi Fong. I was invited for the first time that time, I remember, to give a Dhamma talk at SJBA. I remember Sui An, Brother Sui An, called me up. He said, "Hey, Ken Kun, are you free this Sunday?" I said, "Why?" And he said, "We need somebody to give a Dhamma talk. Well, that speaker who's supposed to speak was not free." So last minute, so that time, Brother Sui An was the deputy president. So I think Brother Chim was the president. So he told Sui An, "Hey, can help her look for somebody." Then he told Brother Chim, "I said, hey, I'll try to get Brother Teo with it." So Sui An and me are university mate, the Faculty of Engineering in University of Malaya. So we know each other quite well. And Mi Fong also our uni mate. So we were together in the Buddhist Society in University of Malaya. So that's why we know each other very well. So that day, when I went and delivered the talk, I remember Brother Jim were there, Mi Fong, Ying Mi, and Sian. Then Brother Jim also take the opportunity to find out who am I. Then after I delivered the talk, he was so happy. He told the one lady, I forgot the name, but who was in charge of the AJBA talk, to put me on the list. So they booked me for the next 2 or 3 years of continuous sharing, I remember. So that's how it all happened. Then after that day's talk, the first talk, Sister NB was full of joy, I remember. She approached me with Mi Fong after the talk is over. Then he said, "Oh, brother, you're so beautiful. Within 1.5 or 2 hours, you can summarize all the essential Dhamma into just one talk. But that's so concise, so beautiful." Then after that, after she rejoined, she suddenly asked, "Do you also teach meditation?" Then I smiled, I knew there's conditioning. I said, "Yeah, I teach meditation, but I teach the other side, the first batch." Then he said, "Can teach us?" I said, "Yeah, no problem." Then I think Sister Mi Fong was quite concerned, I think, because I remember she did caution me before I go to SGBA to give the Dhamma talk. Most of them are more exposed to the Burmese tradition, the rising, falling, and all those things. So she also knew Ying Mi, they also started with that tradition. So she was quite concerned and she wanted to like hint to me. But then I sensed it and I told her, "Never mind, just let things be." And after Ying Mi request, I said, "Yeah, I teach." Then he said, "Can teach us?" I said, "Yeah, if you are interested, no problem." Then somehow they suggest Mi Fong's house. So at first Mi Fong said, "Only the two of us." Then I said, "Never mind, if you are serious, one also I teach." That's how it started. Then Mi Fong said, "Okay, I get Sui An in." Sui An is very good at arranging all this. He texts out a few text messages. Then the first lesson we had, first class, remember, there were 6 of them. That's how it all started. Yeah. So, like here, what is mentioned here is very important. Requesting the turning of the Dhamma wheel means requesting a Dhamma master or teacher or cultivator to teach the Dhamma or speaks the Dhamma. So this one is not easy. That's why those who have the condition, affinity, who know how to listen and develop the understanding, where they can sense it, like Sister Amy and Yuan Chan at that time. Because through Sister Yuan Chan was after 2 or 3 sharing, where she came to my house because of the trip. That I think that was the only Buddhist, we call it what, she was at this Vipassana society organizing this spiritual trip, I think, to Fraser's Hill, I think. Was it Fraser's Hill or Cameron Highland? I forgot already. Then that time I was quite curious. I said, I told my wife, because after so many years I didn't go back to Brickfield, so I only go back there once a while. Then I asked my wife, I think we better find out what is the Buddhist community doing. So when I received the newsletter about this trip, I decided to apply. I told my wife we apply. So when I wrote in, Sister Yun Chan received, then that time he called me, he said, "Bertio, very sorry," he said, "we are full." I said, "Never mind, it's okay." I said, "You put me on waiting list just in case." Then so happened before the trip, 2 person withdraw. Then Yun Chan called me up. He said, "Bertio, since you and your wife, so I decided to give it to you." because the two pull out. So I say, okay, good. Then after that, he's supposed to come over and collect the money and all those things. That's how she came over. The first time she came over, 9 o'clock she came at night. She talked until 12 o'clock, almost midnight. Then second time was the same, third time was the same. That's why all these are very strange. Then she can sense. But Aang be very good. First talk only, first sharing, she can sense it. Then I was very surprised, despite what Mi Feng trying to caution me, when I start to share and teach that, she never have any doubt. She never asked me about the Burmese way and all this. She just listened. That's like a true cultivator will just listen. And when you listen, you will understand if the truth, it will stand up to investigation. Then there are a lot of things that you never hear before, but has been taught, has been spoken and given. That's why when you are a cultivator, you have some form of understanding. When you hear a truth, you will pick it up, you will understand. But these are the truth that other people cannot share with you. And you know, these truths are so wonderful, so beautiful, so penetrating. Dhamma is like that. Not the flowery standard Dhamma. That one actually don't have much truth. Pardon me, most of the time, not all the time. But the real one is not flowery. It's like spontaneous and spoken straight from the heart and not in a theoretical way. Not the knowledge based style of Dhamma. The one that is practical, useful, can relate to life, can relate to nature's truth, can relate to all things that we experience in life. But that type of teaching is very rare, very different. It's the life itself is our greatest teacher. Within nature, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? If you are heedful, you are mindful. For those who see, they always see. So this understanding is always there. That's why my nature rejoices when somebody recognizes and make that request. So far you all should thank these two, especially those who came later, Supangro. You should thank Sister Ingbi. But all of you should thank Sister Yuan Chan for making that first condition to invite my nature to come out and share this teaching. The seven Samantra Bhadra Bodhisattva's vow is to request that the Buddha dwell in the world. Now the Buddha has entered Nirvana or Parinirvana and no longer dwells in the world. Still, we can ask that the Buddha Dhamma remain in the world. So this is also a very unique vow. It seems Samantra Bodhisattva has this great vow to always invite Sama Sambuddha to stay in the womb and to teach. Then number 8, to follow the Buddha in study forever. When Shakyamuni Buddha practiced the Bodhisattva way, he looked upon his own body as empty. We should follow his example. So this one is just an explanation by Shen Hua. But actually, the vow is very important. You can vow to follow Sammasambuddha in study forever. You will become beautiful. We have to encounter one, to meet one, also not easy, really. Then number 9, to accord, always believing. This one not easy. This one is when you can understand what is real wonderful. Then you can do this, to accord always with living beings, with whatever that arises. We should cooperate with living beings with the hope that they will gain understanding. So this one is not in that sense to cooperate so that they can have the understanding. The more important understanding is, I will explain it to you. Here, echoed and flow, echoed really being means whatever that arises, that is the reality. So you play your role. You have to accept that reality. That's why it becomes meaningful, beautiful, wonderful. Then no matter how the result turn out to be or what, you must not interfere. Because nature is nature. Condition like that, things will be like that. Like what the Buddha mentioned. That's why what is real wonderful, is really wonderful and beautiful. And when you can understand this, it doesn't mean you have to cooperate or do all those things. No. Acceptance is a great virtue and understanding. When you can accept them for what they are, means you have wisdom. You have the understanding. It's a great virtue to have. Yeah. Then you can be at peace with all things. Then when there is condition to share, to teach, you teach. When there is no condition, just let things be. Then everything must just be the way it is. That's why what is really wonderful. Then number 10, to dedicate all merits and virtue. These are also very beautiful. All merits and virtue gained from one's own cultivation and practice should be dedicated for the benefits of all living beings. Okay, then we move on to continue the sharing on the word wonderful. The first word of the sutta's title is Wonderful Dhamma. So the word wonderful. And the scope of this word is extremely broad, as explained before. Spoken horizontally, it is wonderful. Spoken vertically, it is also wonderful. Spoken in great lengths, it is wonderful. Spoken in modes of dust, it is also wonderful. All of the Dhammas spoken by Shakyamuni Buddha is wonderful. The wonderful Dhammas include the three divisions of the Tipitaka and the 12 types of sutra texts. So this one is the three division of the what they call Tipitaka. So the first division is actually the Vinaya division. But here they put the sutra first. Never mind, it's okay. The sutra division, which deals with the study of, actually should be the sutta proclaimed by Sakyamuni Buddha. But here, Mahayana, they like to use the word study of samadhi. So this word samadhi here is to develop the stability of mind, so that you can develop the ability to penetrate the truth, to awaken. Then the second division is the Vinaya division, which deals with the study of moral codes or precepts of monks and nuns. Then the final division is, they call it the Shastriyas division, which deals with the study of prajna or wisdom. So this one is regarding the Abhidhamma. So these three divisions encompass limitless, boundless, unfathomable doctrines. The effective functioning gained through the practice of morality, samadhi, and wisdom is also limitless and unbound. So this refers to sila, samadhi, and panya, which is Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. For this reason, the sutta, the Vinaya, and the Shastra are wonderful Dhamma, and so are the Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Although we hear a great deal about morality, Samadhi, and wisdom, or Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, we should ask ourselves just what we are doing with respect to developing these qualities. Hearing the Dhamma is not the same as understanding it. To have any real attainment, one must actually cultivate the Dhamma. To know and yet not cultivate is just the same as not knowing. If you really knew the Dhamma, you would practice it. By way of example, you may know that something is delicious, but in order to really benefit from it, you must go ahead and taste it and eat it. If you don't taste it and eat it, you will never benefit from it. The Buddha Dhamma works the same. If you know a little, you should put that little bit into practice. Then you can be considered a true cultivator. If you know but do not practice, you will benefit neither yourself nor the Buddha Dhamma. To preach without practicing is like being a person made of stone whose body is so heavy he can only talk. He can't move to actually do things. Students of the Buddha Dhamma are able to teach as well as practice. The Dhamma is to be taught and the way is to be practiced. So this is very important. Dhamma is to be shared or taught or transmitted. And the way or the teaching is to be cultivated or practiced. Then Shenhua said, you may speak of it wonderfully, speak of it well, but unless you walk down it until it becomes a part of you, it is still not the way. So this one is very important. We must actually do the work. The 12 types of strataks were explained during the summer season. And now I think one of my disciples will remember what they are. So I will have him explain the 12 types of sutra text, prose, verse, the transmitting of prediction, interjection, Dhamma spoken without request, causes and condition, analogies, expanded Waipuya writings, stories of past life of Buddha, story of past life of disciple, previously in existence teaching, commentarial literature. So these are the 12 types of sutra texts. The disciples are able to recite the name of the 12 types of sutra texts in Chinese and translate them into English. This is an inconceivable and wonderful state. It's wonderful because this disciple never studied Chinese before last summer. During the summer session, he learned to write and read Chinese character, and now he is continuing to learn Chinese. Although the 12 types of sutra texts are not that long, at least, their meaning is quite profound. Nevertheless, he was able to say them in Chinese or Mandarin and give a rough English translation. His explanation was brief, but I believe that if he continued to study them in greater depth, in the future, he will certainly be able to give a lengthier explanation. Why was his explanation so short? It's because he was afraid of making a mistake in his teacher's presence. If he explained something incorrectly, not only would he look bad in front of the assembly, his teacher would not have a good impression of him. And so in his nervousness, he forgot the meaning. There is a Chinese proverb. If one fears anything, one will not be able to do anything properly. Any Mandarin for this? Any Mandarin? Qin Hao will read.
有所恐惧则不得其正。
Yes. So this is the Mandarin version. If one fears anything, one will not be able to do things properly or act accordingly or properly. So that one was written by my wife. Spoken by my wife. So he was afraid. He was incapable of explaining what he basically knew how to explain. This kind of fear is known as fear of the awesome virtue of the assembly. He was afraid of making a mistake in front of people who understood the Buddha Dhamma. And since he was afraid, he was almost certain to make a mistake. But that is also very wonderful because it's also a part of the wonderful Dhamma. Okay, I think we stop here. So we will now go back to meditation reporting.
Brother, 我要 share 我上个礼拜的experience。刚开始我要先谢谢 Sister 这个 Bucheng 上个礼拜二跟拜四的 sharing。那个 condition， 然后再还有我要谢谢 Brother 你的 sharing， 我从你的这两个的这个 sharing 里面 benefit 这个understanding。OK， 我要 share 就是讲上个拜一我在做at night 我在做 lying down meditation 的时候
yes，
我的两个脚它就 arise 很多的那个sensation 在我的两个脚。Then initially 我还有我刚开始它只是一两个的那个 sensation arise， 我以为是mosquito， 所以我起来看 and then 我 confirm 不是 mosquito 的，我就 continue lie down。然后它就慢慢的哇，我两个脚很多很多的那个 sensation 就一直
arise。
Then during 整个 whole lying down 的 section， 我就是just be with it 的，静静的，就是 observe 罢了。
OK。
After 这整个的这个meditation 了过后 ，then 就拜二的时候，伯清就有在 share 讲他在 cultivate 那个 Vedana
对对对对，
在做 sharing。当你一讲到那个 equanimous 这个字的时候他帅我一下，equanimous 就帅我一下，然后等到拜四的时候 ，Brother 你又在 share。那是你就在学讲你怎样的去 cultivate 你走过那个 Pasamalam。
That one very important。
对 The moment 我一听你一讲那个 explanation 的时候，我完全不明白那个 cultivation。
你就了解了。
对，我就了解原来那个 cultivation 是要这样子这样子的去 cultivate。
那个境界就是 understanding 嘛。
对，
不是是看 whether the thought still behave like before or not， 那个是他自己会经过了，会有那个 understanding 的。But when you are cultivating， don't try to know， don't try to go and find out， because that one will revert you back to the thought-based analysis and reasoning。 So when you cultivate is to develop the understanding， follow the sutta。Like I explained to Sister Po Cheng, when you silent, your mind develop awareness. At the feeling when they arise, it's just a feeling, pure feeling. Then when feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant feeling, the Buddha said, you must be aware. Aware means what? Aware means aware that it has become pleasant and unpleasant. Sensation, and these are mental hindrance. So straight away you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, because you have preference, you have conditioning within your brain, your habitual tendency, like and dislike, pleasant. That is how it come. Then when you continue to relax and maintain awareness, what happened?Just like just now you mentioned your leg has that sensation. Initially, you think it's a mosquito disturbing you or biting you. Then you check it's not. And most of the time, it's not. Then later on, you say the thing become more intense. Which will happen? Yeah, it's a test. It's to let you understand. Then what you should do is,You must relax into it, not just maintain awareness and let things be. Relax into it. The more you relax, then you find out what happened. This will change, will transform. But when you are relaxed and now the awareness is just the awareness. The sensation, something else you will find out is the tactile thing. Then,whether your mind react to it or become like affected by it, whether you like, you don't like or what, it depends. Then sometimes just the awareness of it, the tingling sensation and all those activities, when you are one with that thing, that sensation, then it become a pure sensation. No right, no wrong, no pleasant, no unpleasant, just that reality. Then when you continue to relax into it and silent, the whole thing become very quiet, very still again. Then it will show to you a lot of things that you can understand about your aggregates of feeling, the Vedana aspect. How, when you are not relaxed, it creates that type of, it's not that stress and tension, it's the lack of the body to be in a relaxed posture, because there is still some form of thing holding on to it. That's why it's not perfectly relaxed. Then when you want to let you understand, like all this whatever sensation, they will arise. And sometimes it show to you in many different ways, depending on what. Sometimes for people who do the sitting, it can be pain, it can be itchiness, it can be whatever. Then sometimes you know how to relax. Then when you relax into it, your silent mind arises. And the silent mind can see very clearly, the mind is the mind. That tactile movement, no words on that thing. That's why they go and label it through so-called vipassana, the pulling sensation. Forget about it. Silence your mind and just aware. Then you will know that tactile thing, the movement, because you have a body, a physical body. Our sensation part is the tactile, the surface of our body. So if you restrict it through sitting or what, then it will cause numbness or pain or whatever. Then sometimes for no reason, that area very itchy. Then you can try, develop mindfulness, silent to be aware and find out all these things. So this is the development of the four foundation of mindfulness. Vedana to Chitta, then Chitta to Dhamma. So this phase, you just don't try to know when you are doing it, just aware. Then when you come out of it, you will understand. So the other thing that you have to remember is relax. Next time you experience all this, first thing is to relax, the four support, relax. Then maintain awareness. Then let it stabilize, let it tell you the story. Let it surface whatever that it wants to let you understand. That is how you observe, investigate, but with the silent mind, not with the active thought process. No, not to go and look for things. No, just silent, aware. Then that nature will understand. Whatever that arises will awaken you, will let you understand. So that is the subtle difference between thought-based and awareness-based. Awareness-based is you just relax, maintain awareness, and just let things be. So relaxation got many steps, many stages. So this is what you need to develop as understanding. Okay, so?
Sadhu Bharatiyo. Bharatiyo, 我第二天、哦、早上我又在、啊、听回那个、啊、recording
啊呀，那个很重要、
对，当我在听回当又是你讲到你的那个、啊、你在 share 你走过那个巴沙马拉的那个
的时候，对，
哇，我里面的那个、啊、我里面的一直在 vibrating 哦，一直在 repeating， especially 你在讲你在 explain 那些 word 那些啊 dharma 的时候，你在讲的是 accept the reality， 哦 ，and then there is the way it is 的时候，哇，它里面哦一直在哇很 strong， 越来越 strong， until 那个眼泪都跑出来哦，在听的时候，然后
that is the joy， because of understanding。So 那个巴沙马拉姆的 experience 很重要 ，because before 我出去啊，我的 mind is already in sleep， and I already throughout the day aware one. That's why when I walk out, there was understanding, there was joy. I just want to find out experience what this is. Then I realized it was so different from a normal person. Normal person will be very excited or walk very fast. But I just naturally, in a very relaxed manner, mindfully aware. Not the serious try to be mindful. No, nothing. The mind is actually free, completely free with the joy, you understand. Then I just walk. Then my nature, the awareness was so clear. That's why I say I pass by the guy there where the drain has some foul smell. Then that tactile smell consciousness arise. Then my mind was peaceful. It doesn't move. But that is to an understanding, not knowledge. Then I realized the Dhamma that I had was because I knew. I had two choices. If I am nearby, my senses is nearby, it will pick it up. Then I will smell it. Then whether I want to perceive it and react to it and become afflicted or miserable is one choice. The other choice is through the awareness that understand with the Yoniso Manasikara, it just smile. Then it just continue to walk on. Because if you are nearby, you will smell it. Then no need to be like normal people. Wow, try not to smell it. No need. Well, this is nature. But sometimes if you think it is poisonous or something that can affect your health, then it's better for you to put your handkerchief or your mask. And that one you can do, no problem. But what is more important is don't react to it. Don't be averse to it. Just accept that reality. Because thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things we learn that. That if you are nearby, you will smell it like sound, vibration. You will hear, you will pick it up. Whether you want to listen, perceive, or just away and just let it pass. It's entirely your choice. Then as I move on, because Pasamalam there a lot of store, a lot of nice fragrant food and other things, then you can actually experience everything. Your senses become like so beautiful, so wonderful. That's why everything is wonderful. What is really wonderful at that moment, at that instant? The pristine beauty and wonders of everything that I experienced. I was walking with joy. Everywhere I go, I observe the nature, observe the silent mind, observe. Then when I want to buy something, I just, through my own awareness, I buy with understanding and joy. And there was no urgency, no rush, nothing. It just smiled patiently. It will just do what it has to do. Wait, it will wait. Stand, it will stand. Then it will observe. That everything is so wonderful. Because what is really wonderful. That's why there is a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. So all this will unfold. So because of this today's sharing, I can go into it more detail. Well, that day I just share with you the important part that I went through. But today I share almost whatever happened during that journey. That's why when you are aware, mindful, when you have that heedfulness, you are totally different. As a human being, you are totally different. The form and mind that has this wisdom connected, this awareness within, that Yoniso Manasikara understanding within, is so different. That's why life is really wonderful. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. True emptiness. When you penetrate and realize true emptiness, life really become wonderful, meaningful, and everything is so pristine, so beautiful, so wonderful. You know, what is really wonderful. So all this will surface. Okay, so
Sadhu Bharatil.
Yeah.
Now Bharatil, After 这一个你的 explanation 了以后，你下一个那时候你就在 explain 那个 Vedana Nupassana
对对，
mind， 我们就要 be equanimous， 不然就 either 你 stir or 什么。诶，我那时候我在 repeating 听的时候，我能够完全明白你讲的每一个 step， 你的那个 explain 那个 Vedana Nupassana。
杀掉，
尤其你讲到我最 surprise 的就是你讲到那个的
unarisen unarisen mental hindrance，
对
how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be，
对，
then after you continue to be aware how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be，
对。
that's why through that silent observation without thinking without what I explained to you is after the thing. When it happened, there was no thinking at all. But you will come to understand it after that. Because I just silent, continue to be aware. Then I realized through the awareness, there is no word, no thought. That true mind has got no conditioning, nothing to stir. Then everything fall back to normal. It's just like be with it. With that feeling, pure feeling, then it does not move, it does not stir. I don't even have to use the word, I have to be in the equanimous state. No. When I'm aware, there's no word. Feeling will remain as pure feeling. But when I'm not aware, thought come in. Conditioning, views, opinion, habitual tendency come in. So cultivator that don't have this understanding cannot cultivate. Dharma knowledge will come in because they cannot be with the moment. That's why you have to have stability of mindfulness to be with the moment. When you have the stability of mindfulness to be with the moment, then you can see how the unarisen arise when you stir, when you react, when you have the views, opinion, and the condition. Then how when you continue to relax and maintain awareness, then it ceases to be. So initially is you come to know how the unarisen one arise. Then how when you continue to maintain awareness, mindfulness, that's like the four support, then it ceases to be. Then you trace the origination factor. Retrospectively, reverse it. Then when that wisdom develops, then you know how to accept the reality. Well, after you straighten your view, you know, in the past, you continue to do that because of habitual tendency. Now, you have the number that can prompt you. Think it's just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. If I'm nearby, I will smell it. That's it. Then people are just the way they are. The world is the world. So everything is what is the reality. That's why what is wonderful. If I can accept what is, my nature can be at peace. So the next time when I see something, then I realize this Dhamma will surface, the Unisomanasikara. Thing is just the way it is. And now you can add in this one. What is really wonderful. So once this one arises, then straight away you realize the unarisen mental hindrance cannot arise anymore because of this wisdom, this understanding. That's what is written in the Satipatthana Sutta. First, you come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then you come to know how the arisen one ceases to be. Then finally, you will come to know how no more arising in the future of this unarisen mental hindrance come to be. But you need to have the wisdom, only wisdom free. That yoniso manasikara, to see things as they are, to prompt you. Without that one, whatever meditation you do, whatever reasoning analysis that you do and try to come up with the answer, doesn't serve the purpose. It cannot free your mind. That mind can only be free when you have the right understanding and the right view. To accept the reality of the moment, to accept what is. That's why what is wonderful, is really wonderful. You can be at peace. That's why the Buddha teach tatata, suchness. Thing is just the way it is, suchness, the reality. That's why I see things as they are. Everything points towards suchness, that nature, that truth, that understanding. So to be at peace is to have wisdom, nothing else. So now, with today's explanation, it will make it a lot more clearer. Okay, so, Sadhu.
Bratio, 以前我每次看那个啊，你的那个 final summary of the
啊，对对对，那个 yellow book
那个书发的时候，你在这个书里面有每次讲这个啊 arisen and arisen 这个
yes
我都不明白，我一直在，但是我不明白 ，but then 我在听回那个 recording 的时候 ，the moment 你一讲，我就能够明白。
Yeah.
Oh, maybe because of Monday, 我的那个啊、lying down meditation 的那个 experience 让我能够了解 Bradio 你的这个 explanation.
Yeah.
That this 啊、这个是我第一次 arise 这个 understanding. 但是我这朋友一直在 repeating 的听的时候，哇，我就哇得到很多的哈、哦，尤其是 Bradio 你现在你又在 extend 那个 explanation， very clear 这整个的那个他的那个啊这个啊讲他的 principle 啊，就是讲这个啊 Vedana 啊 Nupassana 的这个 cultivation 的这个 这个整个的 principle 是很 clear，
it's very different from what is being taught outside、what is being taught outside is very theoretical、What is being taught outside is feeling got three types. Positive, negative, neutral feeling. It doesn't really teach the Dhamma. That is not what the Buddha said. That's why when you read the Satipatthana Sutta, you understand. That's why I remember when I was sharing the Satipatthana Sutta at Wu Ping Ching Sir. I remember Ying Bi can follow that time. She was full of joy. So that time, that final summary, I actually summarized it within one final class, that last class. That's why we call it the final summary. I summarized a whole lot of four foundations of mindfulness, and I went into all those sharing. So that book is also very good, but because of the amount of time that we have is limited, that's why most of it there was the summarized version. Now, because of this sharing, we have more time. I can go deep into it to explain deeper and give you clear-cut example of daily life cultivation and experiences, how it can be done in the midst of life, and how this thing can arise and lead to such understanding. So all these are very beautiful sharing. That's why you need people to go through all this. If you don't go through all this, you don't ask that appropriate question, then my nature cannot have the causes and conditions to share. Then when the causes and conditions are there, things are meant to be, then this thing just happen. That's why you realize all this recent sharing, they are going into it to give rise to more and more refined understanding of the cultivation. This one, if you want to go in and find out yourself, is not easy unless your mindfulness is very stable, unless your cultivation is very stable. All these are not possible. That's why you need to have that type of people to guide you, to share with you. So in a way, we should rejoice with the calamitous condition. Now things are moving very fast in a very different way, because now it's all on the cultivation part, and the cultivation has gone in deeper and deeper. We are more and more people are doing it, and they are having the ability to follow and develop the understanding. That's why all this sharing has become very unique and very beautiful and very meaningful.
然后 Maradio 很 it's very wonderful， 就是我昨天早上拜一，我在听那个mini recording 的时候，那个开那个 mini recording， 就是 Alicia 他很多年前他问 Maradio， 他要 understand 那个neutral feeling
啊，对。
Feeling，然后就你就 sharing， 我讲哇，这整个礼拜我就在一直听着这 Vedana Nupassana， 这个 neutral feeling， 就整个来一个 full 的一个chapter 这样子。然后 我在听到里面的时候，要有这个要怎样的去有这个去 understand 这个 neutral feeling， 一定要有 equanimous 跟那个 understanding to accept the reality。我从那个 talk 里面就了解，就整个的哇，我就开始明白哇，我 真的是很高兴。
This neutral feeling very few people understand because this is not the indifferent type. Some people nothing to do with them, they have this indifference, so they say.I don't feel anything. Nothing to do with me. And that one is not neutral feeling. That one is still delusion. Because nothing to do with you. That's why you are not bothered. But when it comes to cultivation, neutral feeling is that feeling remain as pure feeling. It doesn't condition craving. Why? Because there is wisdom. There is understanding.So, craving is a desire, is an attachment, is a grasping. You can say it's before grasping, but it's a lesser extent. It's a craving. The word is correct, craving. Like, there's a slight desire. Then from there, you start to grasp, cling, and hold.So all this are the paticca samuppada link. Before you have the mindfulness, the wisdom, the unisomanaskaran, the awareness, you cannot break the link. You cannot stay at feeling. Feeling cannot become pure feeling. Feeling will become craving straight away. That's why I used to tell Yun Chan, I remember, I say, unisomanaskaran, you cannot learn.You have means you have. You have awakened to it. You have developed it. That is with you. It's always there. Don't have to remember it. But if you don't have, means you don't have. And you don't have that wisdom at the moment of sense experience, which is what yoniso manasikara is all about. So yoniso is wisdom. Manasikara is attention at the moment of sense experience.So when you don't have this yoniso manasikara, your feeling cannot become pure feeling. It will straight away condition craving. That's why you stir, you react. You become afflicted. That's why I say, those who try to teach you how to cut a feeling is gullible. They don't understand. How can you cut? Use what to cut? That is thought-based, knowledge-based. Don't hold. Don't attach. Who say this? The thought say this. But without wisdom, you will hold. You will grasp. You will attach. You will feel it. Do you understand? That's why when wisdom arises, the sensation is not there.Because just like our yoniso manasikara will prompt, he know you, he know me. No mark of a self, no mark of others. No mark of Dhamma, life, existence. Empty. Everything is just the way it is. Empty. That's why you won't be affected. Even your loved one, something happened or what. Like the Buddha always said, the Bodhisattva when he wasin the cultivation stage, and the spouse or the children, they pass away or whatever. He said, whatever there is of the nature to arise, is of the nature to cease. He understands this Dhamma. So when death happened or separation happened, he said, what has arisen or come into birth has already come to pass. Then no amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. With that understanding, he doesn't have sorrow. He doesn't lament. He doesn't become unhappy or sad. He just accepts that reality. Condition like that, things will end. That is the reality. That's why what is really wonderful. So those who have the Dhamma, they have this to prompt them. That's why their feeling can be pure feeling. Then there's no reality. Thing is just the way it is. Form and mind, come and go, no reality. Anicang dukang anatta. Everything is sunyata, empty. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, namo si su, he bi ku ku, wei kong liu lei. So all this understanding will surface, and they become very beautiful, especially he no you, he no me, empty nature, anatta nature, non-self nature. So all this is what the Dhamma is. So you brought out the topic of neutral feeling. Now today I add on to make it more clear so that people can understand. That's why a lot of people who don't have the understanding teach funny type of meditation. Try to cut a feeling. Well, they say that is the link that condition craving. You cut, no more craving. You go and cut. You don't go and find out through actual silencing your mind to be aware. If you are not stable in your mind, you cannot see. You already, the link very fast, already hit affliction and suffering already. And yet you want to cut. Then you say, I don't want to attach. I don't want to cling. I know, hey, no, you, hey, no. This is all knowledge. It cannot free you because you don't have the Dhamma. You don't have the awakening. You have not insight into it. You have not awakened into it. So without that awakening, the wisdom, the understanding, it cannot happen. It cannot be done. Yeah. So this part is also very useful. And sadhu to you for bringing out all these conditions. Yeah? So sadhu. Mm.
那Bertie我上个礼拜听的那个 talk 我很奇怪我会 pick up 一些字，好像有一些字会 strike 我这样，就equanimous， 然后礼拜四讲的那个 perfection 然后还有那个 effort and accept the reality， 然后过后这个 duality， 哇，这个很像哇，全部
all these are connected，
对
connected， all these are connected to the teaching。 You have to use them all to understand the whole thing. Well, duality is created by the mundane mind. The conditioned world recognizes duality. That's why I always share with you all, especially when NBA asks questions and this thing, I say, duality exists within the conditioned world. And that is the reality. You cannot do away duality, you are within the conditioned world. But in the ultimate unconditioned Dhamma, there is no such thing. Because without the mundane mind, without the mundane thinking, there is no duality. There is nothing to create. So duality arises when through delusion, the mundane mind create one side. Like the Buddha say, it must be sati idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. It must mean asati idang arhoti. When this ceases, that also ceases. So all this is what duality is all about. When you create one aspect of the duality, like sensio, wholesome, then you will push it away and wants to cultivate wholesomeness. That's why he wants the mind to be ever mindful, polished until it shines so that no dust alike can align. But what is dust? Defilement created by who? by his mundane mind. That's why when you got defilement, then you want to do away the defilement. That's why you keep on polishing the mind, thinking that the mundane mind is your true mind until it shines, so that this dust, this unwholesome defilement cannot arise. Thinking that is the cultivation to become perfect, to become enlightened. But he doesn't realize that that is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. That's why Hui Ling straight away tear his poem apart. He said, that is still holding on to the mundane mind at the sainthood level, Theravada level. He said, originally, the true mind, there was nothing. So if originally there was nothing, then where can the dust align? Which means you don't have to do anything. If you don't create, in the first place, there is no defilement and wholesomeness, no dust. That's why without any doing, the understanding is there. Silent, then you will come to realize that all these are duality, creation within the mundane existence. But the mundane world recognizes duality. There is such thing as life, existence, law of karma, nature's law, Dhamma, everything exists within the conditioned world. But within the unconditioned, all this ceases. That's why the whole teaching is connected. And you will start to link and understand all this. And this is a very important teaching. So today you bring out a lot of things which is very beautiful. Sadhu to you.
Brother, 我在听你在讲啊，在 explain 的时候，尤其你讲的那个 accept the reality， 我整个人哦，对这个 acceptance 这个的 understanding 好像又 one step further 了。
Yeah， because in the past you all cannot grasp, you all take the word. You think must accept like equanimity. Oh, I don't want to stir my mind. I want to stay equanimous like Yan. Don't want to have craving, don't want to taste good food and all. This is not the Dhamma. You have the senses for you to taste. Whether it's good or bad is according to your conditioning. Understand? But in the ultimate sense, when you already have the mindfulness and the awareness and the true understanding, then you know these are worldly Dhamma, conditioned Dhamma. Within the conditioned world, there is such thing as right and wrong, good and bad. Duality exists. But within the unconditioned, duality is a delusion. That's why since he was trapped, he was at the, what they call, entrance, gateway to realize the true mind. But he doesn't know how to go in. He doesn't know how to cease his mundane mind, silence everything and just let the nature surface. Because he was using the thought, the mundane mind, to cultivate. So to him, the mundane mind is the true mind. That's why he say the body is like a bodhi tree. Sen ru pu ti su. Sing ru ming jing tai. He say the body is like a mirror on the stand. Then polish until it shines so that no dust can arise. That is the mundane mind. That is not the true mind. That's why he haven't realized the true mind. That's why he cannot penetrate despite his cultivation for so many years, knowing so much Dhamma. That's why he calls his the gradual teaching. Slowly, 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 one day enlightened. The real one, straight to the true mind, to realize the first hallmark of Hui Ning, Wu Nian, no thought. That one, no need to wait. Spontaneously, you awaken. But that is your true mind. Once you realize your true mind, you will know, like Hui Ning say, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight if you don't create it? then straight away, no more issue, no more problem, no need to cultivate, no need to maintain that mind that is ever mindful. But when it comes to heedfulness that the Buddha talked about, it's different. That one is ever mindful, constantly meditating during training. During training, you need to have that type of mind. Otherwise, it cannot stabilize. You cannot see all the fine, what they call the subtle craving, the fine defilement. You can't see. You need that stability of mindfulness. So initially, you train your mind until the mind stabilizes and enters the deep. So that state of ever mindful is the period where you go through the training. So that one must be established for a period. Then during that time, you will see, you will understand, you will awaken, you will insight into phenomena, and everything becomes clear. After that, no more delusion. Then you realize what that true mind is. Then you use it to live life. You're no longer deluded by it. That is the aspect of Dhamma that very few people understand. That they thought there is only one mind. And they go and memorize all the sutta and all the Theravada teaching, thinking that they understood the teaching, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, non-self, empty nature. That one is knowledge, theory. If you don't silence your mind until the thought cease, you can never understand that nature. When you can never understand that nature, you can never understand the truth. You cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot awaken. You cannot observe everything that the enlightened people realize, you can't realize. You cannot develop the cultivation. Without the silent mind, you cannot start your cultivation. Without that mind, in heedfulness, means ever mindful, constantly meditating, you cannot develop the understanding and the cultivation. You cannot walk the path of Dhamma to realize the truth, to insight into phenomena. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, so salute to you, for creating the condition.
Vittanupassana 的 cultivation 它是不是跟这个 Vedananupassana 的 是这样子？
它不一样，它是联系 from Chitta from Vedana。It will move over to citta. Your citta is content of consciousness. When the content went in, it becomes a thought. That is citta. That's why under citta nupassana, the Buddha say, when the citta has greed, you must be aware. When the citta has fear, you must be aware. When the citta is spacious, you must be aware. So the content of consciousness and the mundane mind, the citta, with content and without content, you must develop awareness of it. That's why you must silence to develop the ability to see how the content went in. And how when the content went in, when these evil roots, when the citta has this evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You aware. Aware means what? You are aware that this citta thought has the evil root already. That it will condition wrong thought. It will condition evil action, evil speech, and evil thought process. That's how the wrong thought conditions our affliction, our suffering, our fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, everything. So all this come from memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. So when it comes to citta, means after your feeling become clear, you know how the mental hindrance come to be, then the Dhammanupassana, how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, how the arisen cease, and how in the future it won't arise again. That is the first category of Dhamma. mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. And then you go into the mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases to develop the wisdom and the understanding, to trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. Yeah. So citta, no personal, is to see the content of consciousness clearly. When you are aware, you can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of sankhara, conditioning activity, and discriminative activity. Sankhara is what the mental thinking, the mental movement is all about. So see them, aware of them. Don't do anything, just witness. Then how it condition you into negativity, how it trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Then how all this come about, trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it. Then you will come to know why J. Krishnamurti say acting according to memory is not acting at all. Well, what is memory? All this rubbish. That's why my nature understood straight away, although it's not in the Buddhist actual teaching. The Buddha never say acting according to memory is not acting at all. No. Because sometimes you are in the worldly activity or within the conditioned world, you have to memorize things. You have to remember things. But you don't go and cling on to it and act according to what you they call deposited or what you actually accumulated as memory. So all of your experiences, that you go and accumulate as memory, then you act based on that, then you are deluded. That's why you will see all this clearly. Then how do you act? You don't act according to memory. That is the only instrument human being understand. So later on, if you have the Dhamma, you will know. That's why I check. I never act according to memory anymore after that. I always act according to Noble Eightfold Path, wisdom, understanding, Dhamma way. So I realize I do think differently, completely opposite from the world. The world uses memory. Memory is only useful for mechanical things, for technological things, to study, to remember, but not for psychological things. Our Dhamma is citta, psychological, thought-based with a content. If you use memory for that, you get into trouble. That's why thought is useful, is a good tool if you know how to use it. That's why you can arise right thought, wholesome thought. But when it comes to psychological problem, you cannot use thought. You use thought, you will die. Your thought is egoic. Without the unisoma manasakara, the wisdom, it cannot act. You always go back to memory, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, the belief system, all those things. So thought, before you enlighten, is always egoic. But once you awaken with the unisoma manasakara, it will prompt you, and you will not be deluded anymore. And you will know how to act. Act based on wisdom. Act based on understanding. So all these are very important. Go back, listen to this again. That's all.
Yeah, sadhu bharati.
Sadhu. Then you will understand. Now, all these are very deep Dhamma, very penetrative Dhamma. And most of this I have shared before, but I don't think people understand. So today is very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu Bharati.
Yeah.
那我这几天一直在听回你在解释那个。
Yeah, 一定要听。
很 deep 啊。
Yeah, that's why now you all will start to understand that what has been shared is not what you think. In the past, I already hinted you all. Later on, as you develop the understanding, when you reflect back, recall back, now with all this sharing, you will come to know that what has been shared is not what you think. you will get a shock of your life. Last time I always say, when you come to know what this Dhamma is, what that nature, that share this is, it's so different because it's so wonderful. So now, there are quite a number of Kayamita that can understand this. That's why now you will start to understand, even at your level, you find it so deep, so beautiful. The Dhamma, that's why I say, it's for all level, unless you have perfected until your level is higher than my nature's level, then of course you can go beyond it. So all this understanding is very, very beautiful and very wonderful, amazing. So have faith, listen to it, cultivate it, develop the penetrative understanding, awaken to it. Then later on, when we have our next retreat or when we are conditioned together and come together, we can discuss this in a very beautiful way. Like after you all develop the understanding, you reflect back, then you have the joy, then you can share. No wonder last time that, oh, now it's so beautiful, so penetrative. And you know this type of teaching, how to find. People can't even understand what sati is, the basic essential dhamma. People can't even differentiate between the two types of mind. Not to say all this penetrative teaching and dhamma and awakening. There is no way. That's why a lot of cultivators cannot catch up. The one that doesn't have the condition to go through what we have gone through, it will take them a long, 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 long time. Because they are still stuck, most of them, pardon me for saying it, at thought-based meditation, method and technique, skillful means and all those things, and sutra, memory, thought. So a lot of this is happening, but it is the way things are. That's why it's still wonderful. Well, what is really wonderful. That's why living beings who don't have the condition is just the way it is. You can say pitiful, but what is so pitiful? He know you, he know me. Condition like that, things really like that. That's why what is really wonderful. Yeah. Tonight sharing is really wonderful. Sadhu. Very good. So, anything else?
没有了, very true.
没有了, okay, let us rejoice with the good sharing from Brussels today and the condition that he has given for us to have all this beautiful sharing. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, do remember to listen to today's sharing again. It's very beautiful and very penetrative for the serious cultivator. Today's sharing is also very good.